Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella and Jill DeWitt.
Hi.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about spend your time on this, not this. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
That topic just sounds really funny, so you have to explain where you got it here. It's in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. So Savannah asked, I found a couple of counties with giant parcels of land, like 300 to 600 acres, and I looked into splitting them up. I found an article on another online community, which made it seem like I'd need to build roads for access and add utilities.
Hey, Savannah.
This is really good. I got to say something funny about Savannah, too. Is this everyone's experience with parcel splitting, or might there be a cheaper way?
Okay. Oh, there's a cheaper way.
Okay, first, before we address the question, I want to say one thing, because I'm not sure. Do you know who Savannah is?
No, I don't.
Savannah happens to be the wife of one of our members who is doing so well, she's all in. And now she's asking the questions. Seriously.
That's awesome.
So they are like going like gang. This is clearly a family business now, and they are doing fantastic. So,
hey, which one's smarter, Savannah?
I mean, we've
or the
had
husband?
Him.
And it's funny that we don't know his name.
Do you know what's? Oh, I do.
Oh, okay.
You don't know who it is?
It's like, just like everyone knows Jill, but who's that guy Who's that guy with Jill?
His first name starts with the letter M.
Oh, okay. Okay. You can't say it?
Michelle.
Oh, this is Michelle's wife?
Yeah, see? I know that. See, right now you're thinking like, wow, look at what they're doing
now.
That's
impressive, because I know, right? I talk to Michelle once in a while.
I know.
They're killing it.
That's what I'm saying. So you want to answer the question now?
Yeah, so parcel splitting, by the way, we just got parcelsplit.com, which is going to explain all this at some point and make it easy for everybody. There's two ways to subdivide property. The way that she's referring to, where you put roads in and you get a survey and you develop the property, you get it set up to develop it, whether you're going to develop a strip mall, an apartment building, a big massive planned community like Del Webb does out west and in Chicago. That's the subdivision way. There's also the parcel split way. And the reason that parcel splitting, the roots of parcel splitting in this country have to do with farmland. And let's say you marry your last daughter off and you give each of the kids 40 acres to be farmers on. And that's really what parcel splitting is. And that's really what we do. So that said, that's the backstory, the kind of the basic 35,000 foot history. You know, every single county is different. And every single person at any given county is going to have a different opinion on this. And just about every person you talk to is going to say, no, you can't do it. And there are several members that are in our group that are excellent at not taking no for an answer.
There are rules. No, just kidding.
For example, in Arizona, you can take any piece of property that is not in a subdivision already. All right, so when you read the legal description, it says the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of section whatever, Range Township. And you can break it down into five smaller parcels. And you can do this with basically filling out a piece of paper, rewriting the descriptions if it's square or rectangle and makes sense. Without a survey, without putting roads in, without anything. Now, will the counties process it? This is a statute in the Arizona. It's a statute in Arizona that you can do this. The counties don't like it. Some of them love it. Some of them hate it. So my point in all this is it confusing? I mean, you have to do a lot of reading. This ties right into what this topic is for today. Mm-hmm. So is this something to spend time on, Jill?
At their level, I would.
Subdividing property or splitting it out both ways is some of the most profitable things that you can possibly do. And not in this business, but in your life. Mm-hmm. If you take, I want you to do real quick math. You buy a 40-acre property for $48,000 out west here, like we regularly do. Just about every week we do this. And you sell it. You have two choices. You can sell the property, for 20 grand, let's say, and great, you doubled your money, sometimes more than doubled your money. But let's say you take the property and you can magically subdivide it down to 41 acre properties, and you sell them for $2,000 each. Now you've turned a machine. You've turned it into a cash machine. That's $80,000 on an $8,000 acquisition. Silence was intended.
Oh.
Jill was about to save us.
No, it's so funny.
That's staggering.
I know.
Now, do Jill and I do that? No, because it's very difficult to subdivide it down where we operate anyway into that small parcels. But do we cut them up into fives all the time? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You take a 600-acre or 300-acre property and cut it down into 40, 50, 60 acres, you're gonna dramatically increase how much money you make. Mm-hmm. It's very, very worth it to look into this.
You know, it's funny about that. I got to say this. So you and I went to a movie the other day, and the guy in the movie, it was a silly movie with Will Ferrell, and I can't think of her name now. And anyway, he just can't do math. And I just flashed back to that movie because it was just so silly. Like, he's good in English and stuff, but when you bring up any, like, they're looking at something, he's like, that's $50 million. She's like, it's $50,000 for her. It's okay. So you cannot do math.
Have you ever met
anybody
that?
The whole zeros are just hilarious.
Have you met someone in real life like that?
Not that bad. But I do know people that can't do math. Yes, I do. So I'm sure you do too. Don't you?
No. I think that the root of it is just, I think maybe they had a bad math teacher. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't believe they're trying hard enough.
Oh.
But some people believe that about allergies. Oh, they just don't want to go over to the house because, you know, they blame it on their allergies.
Oh.
So I don't know, but I don't know.
They just don't want to go over. They just don't like them. They're just, let's be honest, they just don't like you.
I don't know. I just, you know, when I suck at something, I try harder.
Ah. That's good.
Like getting you.
Oh.
I had to try hard.
Oh, that's brilliant. Nice job. Good one. Well, do you need points? What did you do?
I like you, Jill.
Oh, thank you. Just checking. All right. If you have a question or you want to be in the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com.
Today's topic, spend your time on this, not this. So a long time ago, this is the meat of the show. Jill brought home a book, and it was, had a lot of pictures in it. So those are the kinds of books that I like. So I opened it, and it was called Eat This, Not This.
Not That.
And so Eat This, Not That. So if you, which is probably what we should have titled this. But
yeah,
well,
it's all right. We won't go there now.
So you open the book, and you have two pages open. And on the left side, it's like, you should really eat this. And then on the right side is, you should never eat this.
Right.
And the thing that intrigued me about the book is that, you know, I spend a lot of time, not a lot, but a fair amount of time making sure I don't get really large. And it didn't make sense. It was packed full of irony. You know?
There's some funny things in there. Like, you can go to whatever establishment. Like, this was like, had different sections, like fast food sections and going to a Chinese restaurant. It's like it's not like you can't go there, but don't get this, get this.
So it gave the
calories
nutrition label or information for each one. And some of this stuff is staggering. What sticks in my mind is, you know, that thing at Chili's, or I don't know, TGIF, one of those, where that onion explosion thing, there's like 4,000 calories in that.
Yeah.
And it's a vegetable.
Yeah. Because every little wedge of that thing is deep fried.
Right, it's deep fried, and then you dip it into mayonnaise or something.
Exactly.
Yikes.
Like a bloomin' onion kind of thing, or whatever they call them.
The other thing, too, is like any Asian food is packed full of calories, and even if it's just noodles and vegetables, tons of calories. So
Mexican, too. Sodium.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of sodium and salt in
it. Anyway, so
that's funny. We're talking about food. It's making me hungry. Can we go eat after this?
Yes, we can. Always. So Jill and I put together a little short list of stuff that you should be working on and not be working on to really maximize the velocity of transactions that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jill. I mean, how about I just throw a bunch of things out and you should say work on it or don't work
on
it.
Okay, love it.
Acquisitions.
Yes.
Data.
Yes.
Talking to sellers on the phone.
No. Not that long.
Reviewing acquisitions on earthpoint.us.
No.
Reviewing plat maps.
No.
No. All the back office stuff that you have to deal with should be outsourced.
Downloading plat maps, that's like the kind of stuff. Yeah, you should be.
We have built company after company solving these problems for our members.
The main point of this whole show is efficiency. That's the bottom line. You need to save yourself, your energy, and your resources for the things that only you can do. All the silly stuff like answering the phone, going through the mail, scanning in the offers, you know, calling a county, double checking recording fees, you know, putting deeds together, all the that stuff, that's not your best use of your time. That should be outsourced.
Yep.
In a system, have somebody else doing it, whatever, because you need to be, you know, being a data pro, number one, you know, and finding the counties and getting the offers out there, pricing and spending time pricing them so you know that they're going to be well received.
Exactly.
And making the deals.
That's right.
That's really it. That's what's great about this too is this is not even where we're going with this show, but a lot of our people, they don't have 40 hours a week to spend on this.
Right.
They have 10 hours a week, maybe. And it's hard to do. They come home from work and they kind of go to work, you know, and we've done that. I've done that. I mean, it was the funniest thing when I really had two desks. I was working from home for a while. It was the funniest thing where I had a desk set up facing east and I had a desk set up behind me facing west. Seriously. And I would swivel my chair around.
I know.
Depending on what I was doing.
You should have filmed that.
It was hilarious. I should have. I don't have any pictures of that.
It was long before Land Academy.
So it was before Land Academy because I was just doing land, you know, I had a day job. And I was flipping land on the side. And then it got to the point, like we tell everybody too, if you do this correctly, like what we're saying, at some point you're going to be going, all right, I need to quit my day job now because it's ridiculous. I'm losing money now because I can't focus on my land gig. And I have so much money in the bank now that I'll be fine for just quite some time.
Right.
So, yeah.
You have to systematize everything or you're going to really just continue to do menial tasks constantly. I read an article in Fast Company quite some time ago that said businesses fail because the owners and the decision makers are not working on the right stuff.
Yes, I believe that.
They're working on I've seen a lot of people who start businesses just work on the stuff that they want to work on, the fun stuff. And you just can't do that. You can outsource most of it, but I'll tell you, to this day, I still download data, review it, scrub it, and send it to the printer.
Right.
I mean, could I outsource it? Yeah. Would I recommend that anybody outsource that? No, because that is imperative to shaping the business and types of properties that we buy.
Right.
Do I talk to sellers anymore? No,
right.
Not even at all. I approve the dollar amounts that we say. You know, what ends up happening is it all goes into a database and I review the deal. I review the maps on the deal and to see if it's a good piece of property, and I review the ending sales price. Mm-hmm. Those are things that I have never, probably will never outsource. Mm-hmm.
I have a compliment to you too, Jack, by the way, because I like you.
Oh.
One of the things that you have taught me and that you do very well is I read this somewhere too. You should have the mindset that every company, every business, you should think of it as you're trying to franchise it. You should be setting up systems and putting procedures in place that anybody could step in and you could recreate this six times if you need to. And that's what you do. You think big, you think franchise, and have a clear system. And that has really helped us, I know.
Yeah, what's coming in along those lines, what's coming in 2018 is Offers Academy. You know, we have Land Academy now and Land Investors, and we have tons of members and people are doing great. It's time to expand. You know, you can do any database, any data-driven assets like cars, boats, planes, all that, houses, apartment buildings, they all have a data set and they all need to be, offers need to be submitted.
Yep.
And a system needs to be set up. I mean, we have it all, but that's why we're here, to share, you know, spread the word.
Exactly.
Systematize the acquisition and sale of those assets based on data.
Right. You know what else? One point thing too is when you're spending your time on this and not that, it's okay to, if you're not good at something, there's a reason to not spend time on it. If you know that you're, no, seriously, maybe it's something you should be doing, but you're really not that good at it. Don't beat yourself up. All right. Hire it out. Get your partner to do it. You know, something like that. And that's okay too.
I would highly recommend that you learn how to drive a manual transmission, but that doesn't mean that the car that you have right now has one.
Right.
But you should know how to do it.
Learn how to do it, and then you can pass it off.
Right.
Love it.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
We like each other.
We do like each other.
People are vomiting all over the country right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. It's like our kids, like, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. No. I'm like, I know, sorry.
That's why we said it.
That's all right. Get over it.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.